Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A game. With all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Volume.
The Draymond Green Show is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to bet the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook during the football season. It's easy to use. It's safe and secure. You get payouts in as fast as 2 hours. There's so many bet types. My favorite, same-game parlay bets. There's live betting, player props, futures. If you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. To get started now, sign up. Please use the promo code COLIN. COLIN. FanDuel Sportsbook makes it easy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Draymond Green Show. Tonight is kind of terrible. We got destroyed. So if you haven't figured out yet, this is like Warriors win, happy podcast. Warriors and Celtics win, like ecstatic podcast. It's like as if Jackson plays with the Boston Celtics. So I'm actually not crushed because we got crushed, whereas Jackson is kind of crushed. Jackson, are you crushed?
Bro, to have your best defensive player, the defensive player of the year, get stripped twice in a row by the better, like in this series at least, the better defensive player. It's tough. And have Jason Tatum not touching the ball in those two possessions, it's tough. It's not good.
Let me tell you something, Marcus Smart. You know how it go when these fans get upset. This man just said, you're not even the better defensive player.
I mean, Drew's been so good. Marcus is amazing. It's nothing against Marcus. Drew's just been amazing.
He trying to clean it up, Marcus. Hey, Marcus. Yo, that's how it go, man.
Yo.
That's how it goes, Marcus.
Yo, relax.
Sometimes they say Rudy Gobert a better defensive player than me, Marcus, when we struggle. I mean,
hey, I did not compare Marcus Smart to Rudy Gobert. You did.
No, actually, it would be Drew. But however, I'm really not comparing Drew to, because Drew is actually arguably a better defender than Marcus Smart. And that's no disrespect to Marcus Smart. I think Marcus Smart would tell you that Drew is absolutely an incredible defender. And I don't think people really understand that. And like I always knew he was an incredible defender, but then to see Drew up close in person in the Olympics, like, dude, he's insane defensively. Like, the way he moves his feet and his hands are quick and he's strongest, man. So it's actually no disrespect to Marcus Smart, but Drew is an amazing defender. And Drew is like, he's a good on-ball defender. He's a good help defender. Like, Drew never gets the respect defensively that he deserves. To see Drew make those two plays down the stretch was not shocking to anyone. Now, I think where the problem for me happens, though, is everybody's like, Drew making the play on the defensive player of the year. It's not as if, I don't understand why people are throwing the defensive player of the year thing out there with Marcus, because he's making an offensive play. And so,
I know.
You know, I just was not even you, Jackson. I was just like, you know, you scroll down Instagram and that's everywhere. It's like, DPOY question. I saw something that said DPOY versus Smart. Like, you know, to take shots at him winning defensive player of the year because he got stopped twice. The reality is he shouldn't have the ball in that situation. Jason Tatum should have the ball in that situation. And if not Jason Tatum, then Jaylen Brown should have the ball in that situation. And so for people to go at Marcus Smart with the whole defensive player of the year thing because Drew made great defensive plays is a little crazy to me. But let's talk about the two stops. The first stop, you know, driving baseline against Drew, that's Marcus Smart. Like, Marcus Smart drives right, get to the rim and finish that often. You know, so I'm not looking at the entire play like, oh, man, that was a terrible play or something. Like, that's what Marcus Smart does. He's a right-hand driver, get to the lane, finish off the glass. Drew made an incredible defensive play. And so as much as I think, yes, Jason Tatum should have had the ball. Yes, Jaylen Brown should have had the ball. That is something that they get to often, which is Marcus Smart downhill to his right hand. Kudos to Drew. The second play, the problem I have with the second play is I'm never, you know, I just felt like he was like, I felt like Marcus was driving into, like, there was nothing over there. Like, even if Drew didn't take the ball, there was absolutely nothing over there. And I can look at some of the mistakes I've made in my career. It's like, Drew should have gave, Jason should have been coming to get the ball in the backcourt from Marcus Smart, as opposed to pushing it up and then trying to get it back to him and him trying to get open in the front court once Marcus Smart crosses the half court line. Jason need to go to the ball as opposed to, yes, he was running on the wing wide open. We all saw it. Hindsight's 20/20. But Jason should have went and got the ball and then bring it and go get the shot that you want. Or they probably sent a double team and then he can make the play as opposed to Marcus coming to make the play. And so if I look back at KD and myself, I should probably give KD the ball back there so he can go make the play at that time in the game. So that's the issue that I have with the transition play is Marcus shouldn't have the ball there. Jason need to go get the ball, bring the ball up, and you get to what shot you want. Even if that's, I'm about to draw two and kick it to Marcus on the wing. I'm going to draw two and kick it to Marcus or drop it off to Marcus cutting or whatever. Jason should be making the play. And he have to learn that he has to go back and get that ball back there in the backcourt. I'm going to get the ball. I'm going to go make a play now before the defense can set up. As opposed to marking it, bringing it, the defense loading up. Now you hand off to Jason or something. And the whole defense is set. No, Jason bring it before the defense gets set. But he got to go get the ball. So I'm going to charge this one on JT. That's my young fella. And he got to learn. He got to go get that ball. Now, what is he, 23 years old still? Like, he's still learning. And I think people don't realize that because he's been so good since he walked into the NBA. But he's 23 years old, so he'll learn from this, and the next time he's going to go back and get that ball, and then he's going to make the play. But that's all a part of the lumps that you have to take, so I'm going to charge this one to the young fella because he's a superstar, and he's going to be great for a long time, and he's going to take that organization to places they've been but need to go back to. He's going to take them there. But I'm going to charge this one to him because he got to go get that ball. And he go get the ball, we not talking about this because he either shooting that or he making a play to somebody, not somebody else making a play. And that's a learn. That's like I said, that's a learning lesson for JT. So that's what I got for you on the Boston Celtics game. Again, Al Horford, by the way, still bumping. Oh, Al, still bumping, playing incredible basketball. Oh, Al. I also thought for the Bucks, Pat Connaughton played well. Now, I'm going to tell you something that bothers me with the Bucks, though. Down the stretch, I don't want Pat Connaughton shooting a free throw. You may tell me Pat Connaughton is a 90% free throw shooter. But, like, if Pat Connaughton, like, I like Pat Connaughton. I think Pat Connaughton is a very good player. But I just don't love Pat Connaughton shooting free throws down the stretch with the game on the line. Because I went, if the game's on the line for me, I have a certain guy or two that I want the ball in their hand when the game's on the line. If that means they're shooting free throws, I need that guy there because your trust is just going to be different than that. You know, Drew Holiday may shoot 75% from the free throw line this year or something like that. But if you see Drew Holiday at the free throw line as opposed to Pat Connaughton, your trust is just different in that because you know Drew is always ready for the moment. And so that's something that I don't necessarily love. And like I said, I really like Pat Connaughton as a player. I think he's a very good player. I think he plays very well for the Milwaukee Bucks. Slasher, a good athlete, knocks the three ball down, tough. Like, Pat Connaughton's a really good player. But just game on the line down the stretch. Like, if you get the ball to Pat Connaughton to get fouled, right, and they trap him, like, are you trusting Pat Connaughton to make the play out of the trap? And so that's kind of why you be needing, like, your guys who had a ball to have a ball. Now, that's where you're missing Chris Middleton. Because Chris Middleton, and so I've been a little, I think if Chris Middleton was in this series, it'll be a totally different series. Because Boston is still growing. And Boston may very well still win this series. But I think it'll be a lot different if Chris Middleton. And that's one example of that.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, CJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in a bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. With just a few taps on the app, you can have Angie tackle your home service project start to finish.
With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. It's your one-stop shop. Angie can help you find the best price for your project by comparing quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps, or book services at an upfront price based on local data. They get the difficulties that can come with home projects. They get it. Why not make it as simple as possible? Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Or download the app today.
Moving forward, as everyone wants to talk about how we whooped that trick or lack thereof. Yeah, tonight got away. It looked, got a little out of hand pretty quick. I mean, we played decent in the first quarter. Not great, but it was okay. But it got out of hand, and I think for us, what we have to realize is this is not the same team we were playing to start this series. And so you almost have to make the adjustment in this series for us as if we're starting an entirely different series. You know, you go from series to series, your pick and roll covers may be one thing in the series before, and then you change it the following series. That's kind of where we're at now. It's like you kind of have to rethink the whole game plan, because our game plan was built around Ja Morant. Like, and it's not that anymore, and they're a totally different team. They're a totally different team without Ja. More guys touch the ball. You kind of got to – you got to account for more guys on a normal basis when Jai isn't on the floor. They're also a different team defensively when Jai isn't on the floor. And I think that's something that's been understated as well. It's like, you know, you're putting Jai into actions and different things like that. And you're not really doing that now defensively, because they have a bunch of like size guys. They're switching things and like different stuff of that nature. So we have to approach this next game as an entirely different series. And what adjustments are we making from series to series and approach this next game like that? Because that's just a totally different team than we were playing. And the game plan that we had, and by the way, this isn't like our coaches screwed us. And like, no, like we got punched, and it's on us, the players. It's not on the coaches at all. But us as players and coaches, we all have to make the adjustments that we need to make, like I said, as if we were changing series. So that'll happen. When you turn the ball over 22 times, you give up 18 offensive rebounds, that's tough to overcome. You add in that they shot the lights out the ball. It's tough to overcome and win, especially their season is on the line. Like they're scrapping. They have nothing to lose. So for them, it's like we coming out guns blazing. We got nothing to lose. And we have to understand that. And I don't think our approach was as such. It's like this is a closeout game, and it's going to be very, very hard to close this team out. We understand that now. And so we move forward knowing that this is going to be tough. This team isn't going to lay down. Let's make the adjustments that we need to make. But the number one adjustment has to be not turning the ball over. The thing is, we haven't been great not turning the ball over all series. But where we have been great at is rebounding the basketball. And so, whereas we were rebounding the basketball great offensively and defensively, we didn't rebound it well on either side tonight. And now you couple that with 22 turnovers, and then also you add on the way they shot the ball. You probably, I still wouldn't think we would lose by 50, but you probably lose that game. And so I don't think it's anything for us to panic about. We understand, all right, this is a different team. We have to play this team differently. We have to approach this game six differently. Going back home, home crowd, get the crowd into it, and come out and put your hard hats on. And I think that's, you know, that's what we got to do. That's where we're at. We got to control the paint better. I know at one point during the game, I looked up the points in the paint was like 46 to 14 or something crazy like that. Like, you can't win games like that unless Steph Curry is 11 for 16 from three, and Klay Thompson is 11 for 15 from three. Like, you can't get outscored in the paint like that. So that's two things that a couple things that we have to do better, and I think we will do better. I thought very early in the game the turnovers weren't bad, and then they just got out of hand and got out of control. So we go back to the drawing board. Travel day tomorrow. Have shoot around on Friday. Put in our adjustments and get ready to play game six. Nobody said it'll be easy. So that's what we do. Now, I had fun at the game tonight with whoop that trick. Get him. Whoop that trick. I mean, it was live in there when they played that, by the way. And as you know, I started waving my towel because for me, I talk a lot. I talk junk. I communicate. Like, I'm a talker. And I don't respect guys who, when it's all beautiful and, you know, you winning and everything's going great, you yapping. And then when it's not, you just sit there. I don't respect those guys because a real one gonna talk no matter what. No matter what the situation is, if I got something to say, I'm saying that. Like, I love Silas in the crowd on the road. I take pride in that. There's no better feeling. Well, guess what? When they got the upper hand and they embracing it and they going crazy, you can't sit there like this. Like, nah, you all right, they got it. What's up? You ain't gonna never see me sweat. So, yeah, I was waving my towel. And they talking about whoop that trick. Yeah, we whooping that trick together. Like, I'm gonna have a good time in here too. So I enjoyed that moment. And like I said, it was hopping in there. Anytime I had an opportunity to be in environments like that, I love it. You know, you don't get those environments often. So that was cool. You know, they got the 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, all that stuff. Like, you see it, you know it, you move forward. So I'm looking forward to game six. A lot like us, there were some other blowouts in game five. The Phoenix Suns beat the Dallas Mavericks by 30. I thought Luka usage rate flew back up again. And, you know, one thing to note, though, and I always talk about this, is role players play better at home than on the road. And so you see when Luka is going to Phoenix, his usage rate is way up. But he also may feel like, I have to do more because other guys are doing less when we're on the road. And so everyone wants to blame Luka and say, oh, man, he need to pass the ball. He need to do this. But again, it's not so easy for role players to play great on the road. It's just a weird thing. Like, it's a comfortability thing. Like, it's just a very weird thing. And so I do think that's a part of the reason why Luka usage rate goes up dramatically when he's on the road as opposed to when he's playing at home. You know, even like Jalen Brunson, he's a totally different player at home than he is on the road. Now, you have to understand that Jalen Brunson is used to being a role player. Over the course of this last year, he's stepping that up and he's become like he's become their second option. But that's still a role that he's growing into. That doesn't happen overnight. And so when you look at that, Luka has to kind of step it up a bit. However, that's not the recipe for success for them. And so it's a weird balance that they got to figure out. I do think that series will end up going seven. D-Book looked very disrespected. I saw him and Luka getting at it quite a bit. I think that's something to watch for. I've told y'all before, D-Book ain't ducking no smoke. He don't back down from nobody. And, I mean, they were saying real words. Like, it wasn't like, hey, man, I scored. They were saying real, real, real words. And I thought that was fun, and I'm looking forward to that. You also had the Miami Heat and destroy the Philadelphia 76ers. Joel had a bad game. Everybody kind of had a bad game. I think Joel is their emotional leader for certain. I think Joel, you know, you either handle emotions one or two ways, and there's no guarantee of how you're going to handle it. I do think that not winning the MVP thing kind of weighed on him a little bit. Some instances you go out there and you absolutely play great and you can stick it in everybody's face. And sometimes you go out there and those emotions get the best of you and you don't play that great. And I think everybody in 76ers uniform followed that. And so going back to Philly, they need guys who didn't play well on the road to come in and play well. Joel obviously has to be better. I think Joel will be better. I don't think Philly is just going to go lay down. And I also see that one headed back to Miami for Game 7 as well. Jackson, let's get a couple mailbag questions. You got something for me?
I do. Not a lot of basketball stuff tonight because I figure we'll do one basketball question, then we'll do some kind of fun, more fun stuff. From MJ Velasco at Velasco AMJ, from your POV, what separates a playoff team from a championship team?
Playoff teams get to the playoffs. They make a lot of mistakes. But playoff teams usually have like really big weaknesses. Championship teams don't have really big weaknesses. As they go along, they make less mistakes. They don't give up big leads. They win the games that they're supposed to win, and they go on the road and win games that they're not supposed to win. That's championship teams. Playoff teams lose games that they're supposed to win. They never win on the road. Those are some of the differences, key differences in playoff teams and championship teams.
From Rick Conant at Capricord_1978, are you going to let the snow cap on your chin grow out or are you going to color it?
I am not. I don't know yet. I'm not going to say never, and then y'all hold me to that. But I like it. I rock with it, man. That's you go through life, man. I play a very high stress sport. Testosterone levels are, you're like, and so that adds to it. I think that's a part of the reason you see like guys in the NBA go ball fast and like you got to think about the ups and the downs, like that's crazy spikes. And so I rock with it. My wife liked it. But sometimes she'd be like, nah, you think you want to diet? So I don't know. Ultimately, Hazel going to decide if I'm going to darken it up or if I'm just going to roll with it. But I'm rolling with it right now, baby. I'm rolling.
All right, last one. From Luca at Luca24990629. What advice do you have for a 16-year-old 6'1 guard trying to make it big? I think you can sort of take this for just all sort of basketball players that age trying to make it to the next level.
I think as a 16-year-old guard, number one is you should be working on your jump shot as you see how important shooting the ball is in this league. And I think you should take pride in the defensive end. There are so many guards today that don't take pride in that end. And ultimately, it catches up to you. And I think not being a mismatch on the floor and taking pride on that side of the ball, it means something. And especially as a guard, like, you want your guys to know, like, all right, this guy is going to compete on that side of the ball. And that's a part of being a leader, you know. And so I think shooting the ball well, take pride on the defensive end, and then obviously don't be a guard that can't dribble the basketball. If you can't dribble the basketball, there is a cap on how good you can be at basketball if you can't dribble. So Work on your handle. Know how to handle pressure. Work on your jump shot and play some God beep defense. I'm working on cursing.
How's that going for you?
It works sometimes, but like sometimes some things need a curse word. Like,
okay.
Like you mean something. Like sometimes, like, so I think it's going good for me. I'm like thoughtful about it and like, but sometimes some things like need that. And so when it need it, I'll go for it. When it don't need it, I kind of pump the brakes a little bit. So as you can see, I told you I was not as crushed as Jackson. I think my energy was a little better than Jackson's. Jackson is crushed. He's heartbroken. And that's all fine and dandy. But that's a wrap from this episode of the Draymond Green Show. The next time I talk to you, we should be talking about the next series. We should not be talking about this series again. So until then, that's a wrap. Peace.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.